A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to A Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host as we explore the changes at work in the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you some of the latest news and also take time to examine many of the issues that are challenging these arts organizations. Today, we'll look at how orchestras have begun to embrace the Chinese or Lunar New Year as an opportunity to provide programming to appeal to a broader community. My guest will be Shen Zhang, music director of the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra, which this year holds its first Chinese New Year celebration concert, and Ka-Chun Wong, who will conduct the New York Philharmonic in its 8th annual Lunar New Year concert and gala. As part of A Tempo, we're pleased to bring you some of the news from around the world of the performing arts. Black Panther and Mary Poppins Returns are among the contenders announced this past week for the 2019 Academy Awards for Best Original Score. This is the first Oscar nomination for Ludwig Göransson, who composed the score for Black Panther. Mark Scheiman, the composer behind the score for Mary Poppins, has been nominated for an Oscar 5 times in the past, and a win would cap off a career awards record for receiving an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony Award. Other nominations in the category were Terrence Blanchard for the score for Black Klansman, Nicholas Britell for If Beale Street Could Talk, and 2-time Oscar winner Alexander Desplat for Isle of Dogs. Original song nominations for this year's Oscars are All the Stars from Black Panther, among whose composers is Pulitzer Prize winner Kendrick Lamar, I'll Fight from RBG, The Place Where Lost Things Go from Mary Poppins Returns, Shallow from A Star Is Born, and When a Cowboy Trades His Spurs for Wings from The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. The 2019 Academy Awards will be held February 24th. A 17-year-old New Jersey girl has landed the role of Maria in the upcoming reboot of the classic West Side Story, now in the works by Steven Spielberg. According to Deadline Hollywood, Rachel Zegler was chosen from among the more than 30,000 who had auditioned for the role. Spielberg worked closely with Hispanic Heritage and other groups to focus the search on the Puerto Rican and Hispanic community. Deadline reported that Rita Moreno, who played Anita in the original 1961 movie, will step into a new role of Valentina, who will take the place of the original Doc, who owned the corner store where Tony works. Other cast members include Ansel Elgort as Tony, Ariana DeBose as Anita, and David Alvarez as Bernardo. The movie is expected to begin filming in the summer of 2019. And staying in Hollywood, superstar conductor Gustavo Dudamel, music director of the Los Angeles Philharmonic, has literally made his mark, getting his official star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. The Los Angeles Times reported that Dudamel received his star January 22nd in a ceremony that attracted guests, including Helen Hunt, Christoph Waltz, Coldplay frontman Chris Martin, and composer and conductor John Williams. The star is in front of the Musicians Institute and is the 2,654th star on the Walk of Fame. In addition to conducting, Dudamel has focused on music education, particularly for underserved youth, and is currently serving as this year's Artist in Residence with Princeton University Concerts. Those are just some of the headlines this week from around the arts world.
Thank you.
There are some musical celebrations that have become venerable traditions when it comes to holiday seasons. Ballet companies showcase their talent in numerous Nutcracker performances. Choirs and orchestras come together to revel in masterworks such as Handel's Messiah or Bach's Christmas Oratorio. And New Year's concerts have become standard events for many, not least of which is the classic New Year's Day concert with the Vienna Philharmonic. Now, orchestras are expanding their reach, looking at how holidays and other traditions in non-Western cultures might be incorporated into their programming to better reflect the local community and attract audiences who might not have attended a more traditional orchestra concert. One growing example is the Chinese or Lunar New Year, which this year falls on February 5th and now features in a number of orchestral seasons. This year, such performances will include the Seattle Symphony's 11th annual Celebrate Asia concert and the Pacific Symphony's Lunar New Year concert. The Philadelphia Orchestra will be joining with the Shanghai Philharmonic Orchestra for a sold-out concert at the Kimmel Center on January 29th. For a sense of what these concerts offer orchestras and their audiences, I turn to two other ensembles to talk about their upcoming programs, the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra and the New York Philharmonic. You just heard an excerpt from a performance of Lee Wanji's Spring Festival Overture, performed by the New York Philharmonic under the direction of Long Yu. That work will also be on this year's program. This is the first time the NJSO will hold a Chinese New Year celebration concert, scheduled for February 2nd and spearheaded by its music director, Shen Zhang, herself a native of China. She said she was excited about bringing this type of event to the NJSO after seeing similar programs welcomed at other orchestras.
I have been doing the Chinese New Year concerts elsewhere in Los Angeles and also in San Francisco. I always found it very interesting to see audiences that don't usually come to our classical series that come to that concert. And that's how I started to think, what if we do this in New Jersey? Isn't that a great way to engage more audience, you know, unusual audience that don't come to us every week? This is, I think, we'll be getting a very different audience, certainly much younger this time and much more family-oriented, I would think, because we have a very large children's choir. It consists of 100 kids, so their families will be coming, and adult choir also. It's over 100 people. I think using choirs is the best way to engage community. It really is. So this time, the first time, this is our first Chinese concert, so I really wanted to have choir in it. And through that, I believe we're getting to at least, I think, around 1,500 different audiences than a classical concert.
And what type, do you have a sense yet of what type of response you have in terms of tickets and just buzz?
It's been going very well. We've, I think, so far already opened quite a few areas that we don't usually sell. In normal concerts, we opened up areas for ticket sale, which is fantastic. I was very happy to hear that. And we have made effort pushing tickets through some Chinese-speaking language schools in New Jersey. There are a total of over 20 language schools all over New Jersey, and we were able to reach to these schools and have people know about our concerts, and people have been buying tickets through that way. So I think so far we're seeing very good progress, and it's still growing. And we also have a VIP gala after the concert. It's for special guests. That's about 150 around, and that has been also filled up very nicely. So everything looks very promising. I hope our first attempt will be successful.
And how in particular did you go about putting the program together musically?
Since it's our first one, I want something that's familiar to the general public. Whoever comes to that concert, I want something that they know without even any professional musical education or knowledge. For example, we're doing the Jasmine Flower, which is, you know, the very traditional Chinese folk song. Everybody knows that. And it's going to be sung by the chorus and the children. I wanted something very familiar, very popular to get people to feel comfortable with, because this may be their first time coming to us. On the other hand, it's not a great concert if there's nothing new or nothing written within the 10 years or so. So there's also a triple concerto. It's called Triple Resurrection by Tan Dun. I wanted the concert not only just for the audience. For some part, it needs to be interesting and refreshing for the musicians of the orchestra as well. So this piece, the Tan Dun Triple Concerto for violin, piano, and cello, this orchestra has never done. I did elsewhere. I think it's great fun to bring quite a major concerto of Tan Dun, written quite recently as well. And the soloists will be our two violin and cello principals. Besides that, the chorus also will be singing half and half, half Western, half Chinese songs. And the Western will be from very big Italian operas, from Puccini and Verdi, some numbers. As well as, you know, the very beginning of the concert will be a very popular Spring Festival overture. Nowadays, that's the most often heard concert opener for Chinese New Year. So I think it's really a blend. There's also, of course, the very standard classical, everybody knows, the Choral Fantasy of Beethoven. So it's really a mixture of the old and the new, and the West and the East. Really, I think the balance is right, looking at the program.
And now, you mentioned the partners you'll have, the choirs and the dance company. Tell us a little bit about how you're working them in.
I'm particularly very proud of the children's choir, because we didn't have one before. And Rebecca Shen, that's her name, she is a violin teacher in New Jersey. She's a very good friend and supporter of the symphony. So when I talked to her, she said, you know, I think I will start a children's choir. And that's what I always wanted to do. And so she did it. She, over the past summer, in June and July, she put out the announcement, auditioning for kids. And she accepted, she took in over 400 applicants just to try. So she selected 120 or so. So from the response, I was very, very pleased, because you never know. You can get over 400 kids from New Jersey to audition for a children's choir. That's quite some news. It was really very encouraging. And she did it, and she's been rehearsing them for the past half year. It'll be very exciting to hear their debut with us.
There will also be a pre-concert program, particularly for families ahead of time. What can the audience expect out of that?
I think the pre-show would really, really feature more towards Chinese musical culture, Chinese traditional instruments. Whenever I try to put traditional instruments with our orchestra, with a big orchestra together, there's always limits, with the instrumentation or with the piece, because when you do that, it tends to be, for a concert like this, it would be too long or too many contemporary pieces in one concert. This is in our family series. It should be on the pop side. So there's always concern of that. But the pre-show gives us the chance to really show off local talents. These are young kids in their, around 10 or from 10 to 18, coming from New Jersey, playing Chinese instruments, traditional instruments, the zheng, and there's everything. There's also going to be a calligraphy artist performing live in the lobby before the show, as well as some artworks, some handcrafted artworks. So it's going to be a showcase of the culture, which I think is the whole point of making this concert, is to let people know more about the Chinese culture as part of the Asian culture.
That was Shen Zhang, music director of the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra. The concert will take place at Newark's New Jersey Performing Arts Center Saturday, February 2nd at 7:30 p.m. More information is available at njsymphony.org. The New York Philharmonic will hold its 8th annual Lunar New Year Concert and Gala on February 6th. It will be conducted by the Singaporean conductor Kachun Wong, who is currently chief conductor of the Nuremberg Symphony Orchestra and will be making his New York Philharmonic debut. He has also devoted part of his career to expanding music opportunities and access through programs such as Project Infinitude, an initiative to expand arts access to children he co-founded with Maria Mahler, the granddaughter of Gustav Mahler. I spoke with him about this commitment to broadening musical boundaries, including this upcoming concert with the New York Philharmonic.
I've grown up listening to the recordings and the videos of the New York Philharmonic. And when I was a student, I was on exchange at the Peabody Institute in Baltimore. And so I remember so many mornings on usually a Tuesday morning, I would take the Greyhound bus or something in the morning to New York and then be in time for the rehearsal. So coming now to New York and being able to work with them, it's one of my many dreams come true. I'm just very glad that I'm going to be the second conductor to take over this Lunar New Year concert. And I know the great Chinese maestro Yu Long was conducting before. And so this, of course, it's a huge honor. And I'm thinking about this debut every day.
And certainly the fact that it's a special concert for the Lunar New Year, I'm sure, adds some significance. What additional meaning does that bring to be able to stand in front of the Philharmonic and conduct this program?
I think, firstly, the New York Philharmonic has always been a trendsetter. And many years ago, they have started this series of Lunar New Year concerts. So I'm really, really glad that I have been given this wonderful task of taking over from Maestro Yu Long as the second conductor of this Lunar New Year concert performance for this year.
Tell us a little bit about the works that you'll be leading the orchestra in.
Yeah, so for this concert, we have devised a theme which is sort of centered around the theme of fire. And it's really three fires. We have the fire ritual by Tan Dun. And we have the train toccata by the composer Liu Yuan. And in Chinese, we call it the Huo Che toccata, and Huo means fire. And then we also have Stravinsky's Firebird on the program. So in Mandarin characters, if you have three fires added up together, you get the word yin, which is sort of like a super prosperous word in this Mandarin language. So I'm very happy that the New York Phil and I, we have worked out this wonderful theme together. And at the same time, we're going to feature Korean soloists, Bom Sori Kim, and also we have a wonderful soprano coming in to sing two beautiful pieces, including Arirang, which is a really, really special piece that from the Korean culture. But at the same time, I understand the New York Phil has played this piece before in their groundbreaking tour to North Korea.
So what other elements went into putting this program together? What did you enjoy about being able to bring these works together, including the fact that you are playing the Stravinsky, from the Western canon, in addition to all these other works from the more Asian tradition and Asian composers?
Firstly, I just want to say that the New York Phil is extremely exciting. It's been a dream to work with them because they have such great ideas. And this year, we are calling it the Lunar New Year Concert because with an event like this, it's really inclusive. I'm just amazed at how much of the world celebrates this. In China, obviously, in Singapore, I myself am third-generation Singaporean. My ancestors came from China, so I'm obviously very connected to the Chinese. But at the same time, I've got friends in Vietnam, in Korea, in Indonesia, and in Malaysia celebrating this wonderful event as well. So this program, I think, reflects the diversity. It has a great representation of China, obviously, with the composers such as Tan Dun, Li Huanzi, and also Liu Yuan. But at the same time, we have wonderful, wonderful soloists from South Korea. And myself, I'm Singaporean. And so I think this is really a wonderful, wonderful start to the Lunar New Year activities this year.
As you said, the New York Philharmonic has been a trailblazer in this area, but we do now have more orchestras that have followed suit. For example, the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra is launching its first special concert for the Lunar New Year this year. How important do you think it is that orchestras are looking at this as an event to feature musically through their programs?
You know, I'm an Asian. In a way, Singapore is an immigrant society. So my ancestors came from China. My friends' ancestors might come from Malaysia or India or other parts of Asia from the West as well. And so I've always grown up in this huge cultural diversity that's Singapore. And to be traveling now to America or to Europe, to other parts of the world, where Lunar New Year is being celebrated as it is, as one would celebrate Christmas, or one might celebrate New Year's Eve, for example, the 31st of December. It just, for me, it's such a touching and such a grateful moment, because it feels like we are all connected with one another, and it doesn't really matter actually at the end of the day whether I'm Chinese or whether I'm Singaporean or whether I'm Indian or whether I'm American. It's just that people are coming together to celebrate cultures, and I think that's really wonderful, and especially if you do it through music.
And how well, in general, from what you've seen, are orchestras, particularly in the U.S., but worldwide, you know, looking to other cultures like the broader Asian audiences as audiences they want to reach?
Yeah, I mean, isn't this amazing? Because there's also a big following of Western classical music. And I have so many friends in and out of Singapore, in China, in Japan, who are big fans of the New York Philharmonic. And of course, of other orchestras as well, but that these orchestras are playing music which we are in a way connected with, I think that's just special. I think we are all incredibly appreciative of this. But more than it's just a traditional celebration of what we know, I think what the New York Phil does so incredibly well is that we bring not just the past, but as well the future into our programming. So, for example, we have now a new piece. It's Fire Ritual by Tan Dun, and it's, I believe, the North American premiere of this beautiful work. And at the same time, connecting with the 100th birth anniversary of Li Huanzi, and we're obviously going to play his Spring Festival Overture. And so we have all these wonderful connectors of time and culture together.
Well, I understand that diversity and inclusion and arts education are things that you're very passionate about as well. Tell us a bit about Project Infinitude and what you've been able to do with that.
Project Infinitude is just a little dream of mine. And I've grown up in a way where classical music was never an emphasis, but somehow because of the infrastructure that my country has put into place, I was able to join the brass band in primary school. This is in public schools that every school would have cultural activities. So we could choose to be in the choir or in the band or in the Chinese orchestra or the string orchestra. And so this was how I started my journey with classical music. And right now, what I really want to do is a very small outreach activity. I'm not looking for an impact that goes out to 1,000 or 10,000 of children. But I just want to work with 50 little children and to say, hey, music is great, I love it, and do you think you want to listen to my music or our music? And this is the way that we are trying to diversify and include as many children as possible into our musical activities, my musical activities in Singapore. A lot of these children come from very difficult and troubled backgrounds, single family households, low income families households. They could have special needs. They might need attention that other children normally doesn't require. But I have seen again and again the power of music. We had one occasion to play the entire first movement of Mahler's Fifth Symphony. You know, it's long. And the children ranging from 4 years old to 6 years old were just sitting there completely quiet, entranced by the video, by the music. And at the end of it, there was a child who was crying, and we were saying, "Why are you crying?" And he couldn't vocalize, he couldn't say words very well, but he was just very, very touched by the music. And then he went to the keyboard and he started playing something on the keyboard. And I thought this was really something beautiful and something that I really needed to do more and more.
Wow. And now you began your tenure as chief conductor at the Nuremberg Symphony this past September. What are some ways that you're looking to diversify their programming as well?
Yeah, it's my first season here, and I'm already so excited because we have introduced a variety of musical works. So we're looking at not just the classical canon. We have Mahler and Haydn, and of course the Germanic canon of music that this orchestra does so well, Brahms, Mendelssohn, Beethoven. But at the same time, to introduce music by, for example, Gustav Holst. We just played his Winter Idyll. It's an early piece of music and not so often performed. We're going to do Kalinikov's symphony, both number 1 and 2, along the next couple of years. And at the same time, I'm inviting my friends from Asia to write music for my orchestra. And I think this is a great way of connecting various cultures together, especially from Southeast Asia, because I think this is a treasure trove of wonderful activities in the forest, in the rainforests of Malaysia, in the mountains, and in northern Thailand, for example, in Cambodia. There's so much culture and so much activities going on, and it's one of my wishes, one of these days, to take an entire summer off and just spend 2 months in Southeast Asia, in traveling without baggage, without baggage not only physically but also emotionally and of the mind, and just feeling free to explore as much as I can of these cultures as possible.
That was Ka-Chun Wong, chief conductor of the Nuremberg Symphony Orchestra, who will be leading the New York Philharmonic in its 8th annual Lunar New Year Concert and Gala at Lincoln Center's David Geffen Hall, Wednesday, February 6th at 7:30 p.m. You can find out more information about the concert at nyphil.org and read more about Project Infinitude at mahlerfoundation.org/youth/project-infinitude. I hope you enjoy these conversations that I bring you each week on A Tempo, focusing on the changing dynamics and challenges in the arts world. But remember that programs like this are made possible only through your support of this station. To become a member of the Classical Network, go to wwfm.org and click on Donate. Thank you for your support of the Classical Network. Thank you for listening to A Tempo. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. Join me again next week as we explore more issues and trends in the world of the performing arts. You can listen to past programs of A Tempo by going to our arts and cultural news page at wwfm.org or searching for A Tempo on our program page. A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you.